Welcome to Truth for Today, the Bible Explained, a Christian ministry program that endeavors to rightly divide the word of truth in order to challenge, encourage, and edify listeners. Today, we continue our talks on the Gospel of Christ Jesus with David Anderson speaking on Decision Day is Now, 2 Corinthians 6:2.
During my childhood in the 1950s, my father owned a newsagent shop, and so I was familiar with newspaper headlines. Dad was usually given an A4 sheet carrying the latest news headlines with any paper delivery. He inserted it into a notice board outside his shop in the hope that the headlines would grab the attention of passers-by and cause them to buy the paper. It worked particularly well with the local Saturday evening football pink newspaper, which gave details and reports of the matches played that afternoon. After all, what could be more important to Geordies than to know how the toon did that day? The importance of news headlines is still recognised in today's news-thirsty world. It features in all news reporting activity and is there in your face, on your TV, radio, computer, tablet, phone. By now, you'll be wondering why I'm talking about news headlines when I should be speaking on my allocated title, Decision Day is Now, from 2 Corinthians 6:2. Well, it's to convey the force of the second sentence in that verse, Behold, now is the favourable time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Literally, this reads just like news headlines. Look, now the acceptable time. Look, now the day of salvation. God wants everyone in the world to grasp the great opportunity available to them. This gospel era is that special part of this world's history when his love has been demonstrated through his Son. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed upon the cross, God has provided full salvation. By believing in Christ, I am saved from the penalty of my sins, but I am also presently being saved from the power and practice of sin through the power of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And when the Lord comes to take me to heaven at the rapture, I'll be saved from the very presence of sin. But decision day is now for me and you. That is, this precise moment in time. It's right now that each one of us must individually accept God's offer of salvation for ourselves. Yes, today is the acceptable time with God, and therefore for men it's salvation's day. Tomorrow may be too late, and one day the day of God's grace will end. I'll start today's scripture reading from the ESV at 2 Corinthians 5:18, where this good news, the gospel of salvation, is called the ministry of reconciliation. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us Christians to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God made Jesus Christ to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you, do not receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, In a favourable time I have listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favourable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The word reconciliation means that God has a long-standing issue with mankind that needs to be sorted out by each one of us with him. It goes back to when Adam sinned and Eve was deceived in the Garden of Eden. Adam knew full well what he was doing when he disobeyed God's instructions. He exerted his own will and fell into sin. Sin is doing what I want or what I think is okay for me. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. 1 John 3:4. After the fall, Adam fathered children in his own likeness, after his own image, Genesis 5:3. Each and every one of them sinned, as the repeated statement, "and he died," in chapter 5 prove. In Romans 5:12-14, Paul gives this explanation concerning early mankind. Therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for indeed sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam. Moreover, in chapter 1, 18-32, he provides a detailed account of how mankind again rebelled against God after the flood. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honour him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonouring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed for ever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonourable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature, and the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty of their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decrees that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. What is strikingly obvious is that these very same attitudes and sinful practices prevail today, despite almost 2,000 years of gospel preaching. But remember, the Lord Jesus said, "Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." Luke 17:26. Please keep this prophecy in mind for later in this talk. Before I move on, let me remind you of today's good news headline. Look now, the acceptable time. Look now, the day of salvation. My next point focuses on the word trespasses in 2 Corinthians 5:19. When God in his mercy and grace chose Israel to represent him to the wayward nations of the world, He gave them the Ten Commandments to follow. But Romans 10, 3 and 4 state that rather than submitting to it, they set about establishing their own righteousness. Moreover, 8:3 concludes that they couldn't keep the law because of the weakness of their inherent sinful nature. And don't we all know this to be true? When we see the line that we shouldn't cross, we willfully step over it. We trespass. However, and praise God, the gospel brings news of forgiveness of sins. Also, notice the way Israel dealt with their long-promised Messiah. Although God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, John's Gospel, chapter 1, records two remarkable facts. 1. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Verse 10. 2. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Verse 11. In the Lord's own parable about them, the Jews willfully said, "This is the heir, come, let us kill him and have the inheritance." Matthew 21:38. God had tested Israel by the law and through the prophets for some 1500 years, but when he finally sent his son to them, they took him and threw him out and killed him. Verse 39. And the Jews Jesus spoke to even realized that the parable was about themselves. The guilt of both Jew and Gentile is clearly proven. But the good news is that God has provided the way of reconciliation for sinful mankind. He has consigned both Jew and Gentile to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all who are alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds. It was while we were sinners and enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. This message we Christians preach is called the Word of Truth, the Gospel of Salvation in Ephesians 1:13. So let me remind you again of today's Good News headline. Look, now the acceptable time. Look, now the day of salvation. A person who attends some of the services at my local church is very critical of us because we preach the same message week after week, month after month, year upon year. Our constant reply is that's because the message never changes whilst God allows the day of salvation to continue. Christians are simply messengers to whom God has committed the word of reconciliation. In fact, verse 20 calls Christians ambassadors for Christ and 6:1 fellow workers with him. Ambassadors in an alien world which continues to be hostile to both him and to God. The hymn, "The King's Business," expresses this great privilege and responsibility of ours. I am a stranger here within a foreign land. My home is far away upon a golden strand. Ambassador to be of realms beyond the sea, I'm here on business for my king. I come to tell of one who gave his precious life, that he might offer peace and end this sinful strife. This message I repeat, 'tis God who doth entreat, and that's my business for my king. This is the king's command, that all men everywhere repent and turn away from sin's seductive snare. That all who will obey with him shall reign for aye, and that's my business for my king. This is the message that I bring, a message angels fain would sing. O be ye reconciled, thus saith my Lord and King, O be ye reconciled to God. The responsibilities of an ambassador have recently been highlighted by the British Embassy in Moscow. Britain's relationship with Russia reached a critical low during 2018 over the toxic nerve agents Novichok poisoning incidents in Salisbury. First, there was the public accusation of Russia's involvement made in a formal statement in the Houses of Parliament by the PM. This was quickly followed by exactly the same statement being read out by the British ambassador to the Russian media on the steps of the British embassy in Moscow. He said what he was instructed to say by his government, although he was in a country openly hostile to that version of events. He did not dilute it or change it in any way at all. He truly represented his country, even at risk to his own personal safety. Similarly, Christians are bound to the message of reconciliation given to them by their Lord and Master, even if it's not what the world likes or wants to hear. When they speak on behalf of their Master, they receive the same kind of hostility as he did. See John 15:18-25. God, in his great love for the world, has never been indifferent about mankind's fallen condition. From the very moment of the fall in the Garden of Eden, God has been working out his plan of salvation. Sin has taken every one of us far away from God and made us his enemies. Therefore, we need to be reconciled to God. To remove the mighty gulf between himself and lost men, he sent his Son and made him a sin offering at the cross. See 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's by personal repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that you are saved and reconciled to God. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open and you may go in. It's Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Upon believing, a person is made the righteousness of God in Christ, verse 21, and is justified by his grace, see Romans 3:24-26. So I repeat again, today's good news headline. Look now the acceptable time, look now the day of salvation, and ask you to decide to accept Jesus as your Saviour. I conclude today's talk with some comments on its title, Decision Day is Now. This world of ours is governed by times and seasons. The very idea that today is a favourable time with God and that it's called the Day of Salvation indicates that it must and will end at some future date. Remember the Lord's prophecy from earlier? The end is drawing near. The meaning of now is, that is today, in our text, is found in Hebrews 4:7b. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. No one can afford to spurn, disregard, neglect, reject the gospel invitation to be reconciled to God, for it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. As far as I or any other Christian believer is concerned, we therefore implore people on Christ's behalf. Being aware of the terror of God, but compelled by the love of Christ, we beseech, entreat, plead with people to be reconciled to God. But God himself demands people to believe the message, for the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about obedience of faith, Romans 15:25-26. And the former times of mankind's willful ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Acts 17:30-31. Therefore, today is decision day for every listener of today's gospel message. Gospel preachers rightly focus on Jesus' words to Nicodemus in John 3:14-17. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Verses 14 and 15 are another way of saying God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And verses 16 and 17 explain what Paul calls the message of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5:19. But we must not forget the Lord's positive assurance, whoever believes in him is not condemned, is followed by these stark statements, whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. Verses 18b and 19. Furthermore, John's concluding comments in verse 36 makes clear the outcome involved in the decision each one of us makes. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And the Lord Jesus himself provides this insight to the day of salvation and the future beyond it in 5:24-29. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. The day of salvation is now here. When the spiritually dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For the Father has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for a future hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of eternal judgment. I finish by quoting a hymn which urges people to decide to accept Christ as their Saviour and Lord. Come, 'tis Jesus gently calling, ye with care and toil oppressed. With your guilt, howe'er appalling, come and I will give you rest. For your sin, he once has suffered, on the cross the work was done, and the word by God now uttered to each weary soul is come. Come, the Father's house stands open, with its love and light and song, and returning to the Father, all to you may now belong. From sin's distant land of famine, toiling neath the midday sun, to a Father's house of plenty, and a Father's welcome, come. Come, for night is gathering quickly, o'er this world's fast-fleeting day. If you linger till the darkness, you will surely miss your way. And still waiting, sadly waiting, till the day its course has run, with his patience unabating, Jesus lingers for you, come. Come, for angel hosts are musing, all this sight so strangely sad, God beseeching, man refusing to be made forever glad. From the world and its delusion, now our voices rise as one, while we shout God's invitation, heaven itself re-echoes, come. Thank you for listening to this Truth for Today talk, T1071, entitled Decision Day is Now, from our series The Gospel of Christ Jesus. And remember, it's good news, gospel headline. Look, now the acceptable time. Look, now the day of salvation.